Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week and talking about Jesus' definition of success and of greatness. The question of how he answers the question of who wins in the end, that is, who inherits the kingdom of God. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, to hear the programs, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer or download them on whatever device you have to listen to them at your leisure. You can also download our app, and you'd have quick access to our television programs, The Choices We Face, Sister Anne's Food for the Journey, lots of inspiring talks and articles and calendar of where we're going on our missions. And by the way, if you ever like to join Renewal Ministries and know more about it, the international missions that we do annually, working with the church in different parts of the world, helping promote renewal and evangelization, the call to holiness and mission the best we can, standing with brothers and sisters in countries all around the world. We're doing 41 international missions here in this calendar year 2019. You can feel free to contact us. I also want to mention to you, it's coming up next year in 2020. We're going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary as a ministry. We're going to walk in the footsteps of St. Paul. We've done various kinds of pilgrimages over the years. We've never done the footsteps of St. Paul, so we're excited about that. I want to invite you to join us May 13th through the 22nd, 2020, and there will be an extension, an optional cruise from May 22nd through the 25th. Information about the pilgrimage, you can find it at our website at renewalministries.net, and you can sign up and join us. It's going to be a wonderful time. Ralph Martin will be there. I'll be there. Dr. Peter Williamson, who's been a guest on this program periodically throughout the years, who's a professor of Scripture at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. He's kind of an expert on St. Paul, knows him very well in all the writings of St. Paul. He teaches it, and he'll be our main kind of teacher leading us through the pilgrimage, but Ralph and I and others will also have opportunity to share with you as well. We just want to celebrate God's goodness after these 40 years. It's been an amazing journey. God has been faithful. We know he's not finished yet. We want to go on this pilgrimage, and as Paul totally, radically dedicated himself to mission, we want to stand with St. Paul, you know, before St. Paul and the saints, and to say with the Lord, Lord, wherever you want us to go, we want to go. We want to keep going on with you, and we want to thank you so much for the ways in which you've blessed us. So I want to wrap up this week taking something from St. Paul. This weekend, we're going to celebrate the solemnity of St. Peter and Paul, brothers who imitate Jesus so beautifully, so powerfully, and understood Jesus' teaching, and they understood what was truly valuable. And so if you see their lives and how their lives were transformed, they began throughout their lives to conform and to imitate Jesus, conform to his teaching, conform to his pattern of life. They welcomed it. They received it. It began with faith in them, a burning reality, a knowledge, a living experiential knowledge of who Christ is, the beloved Son of God, the King of glory, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. All power and authority belongs to him, and he's the one whom the Father has sent to bring us all home if we're willing to be conformed in him and to walk in his footsteps. So I'm going to just take a brief reading from St. Paul from his letter to the Colossians chapter 2, and you can see Paul's heart and his passion for passing on what he knows about the life of Jesus. It begins, verse 1, "For I want you to know how greatly I strive for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged as they are knit together in love." So Paul's fundamental motivation, first of all, is love, right? It's love of God and love of neighbor. And he, maybe of all the apostles, he was the witness of what St. Augustine described love. He said, love knows no fatigue. And a couple of weeks ago, I was reading through the difficult life that St. Paul lived and how much he poured himself out, and his motivation was love. And he wrote this letter to encourage, to empower the brothers and sisters with courage, to strengthen their hearts in the face of persecution and trial and difficulty. He said, again, I'll just read, "that their hearts may be encouraged as they are knit together in love, to have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So Paul is encouraging, writing a letter because he wants them to lay hold of and to keep hold of and to live in an assured understanding. That's a renewed faith. That's a renewed understanding, a renewed mind, and a living knowledge of God's mercy, of God's mystery, excuse me, God's mystery. The mystery of God was God's mystery, his plan that was hidden for ages, he said earlier in the chapter, a plan hidden for ages. His entire economy and plan and purpose is unveiled and made known to us in the person of Jesus. That's why one of the reasons why Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus has come to shed light into a world that's covered in darkness, that doesn't understand itself, doesn't understand where it's from, why it's here, and where it's going. It's a mystery to us. And the Father in the Spirit reveals that the mystery is centered in his beloved Son, Jesus. The mystery of God's redemptive action of sending his Son to become one of us, the great mystery of the Incarnation, where God unites himself fully, totally, perfectly, in love and in humility, unites himself to human flesh, human beings that are fallen and lost. And he becomes one of us to rescue us, to bring us home to the Father. And that mystery of Christ in us, Christ one of us, Christ among us, and of course his teaching and his life and his passion, his death and resurrection, his passing from death to life, his beginning in his own being, his own person, the beginning of the new creation, the glory that's ours forever is alive in Jesus. And now he has been crowned. He's at the right hand of the Father, and all power and glory belongs to him. And he gives a share of his glory and majesty to whomever will receive the mystery that's being revealed in the teaching of Christ and the apostles. Again, to have Paul's praying and writing that have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with beguiling speech. It's part of what has been the temptation in the church and been a strategy of the devil, is to plant even teachers within the church or outside the church who deny the reality of who Christ is and who shrink Jesus and conform him to their image, you know, a prophet or a revolutionary or something like that, rather than the very mystery and glory of God the Father. He said, "For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." So that's part of a healthy community, community living in right order, being ordered under the plan and the economy of God, having God's way, God's commands, God's life, God's love burning in our hearts. And it's rooted in a firmness, standing in a radical trust and abandonment to God. Paul goes on, he says, "As therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So those of us who've been baptized into Christ have received him. Those who've heard the gospel and have repented and have been baptized, they've received him. He said, so if you received him, live in him. Live in him. Such an important examination of conscience. Am I living in Christ? Am I living for Christ? Am I living with him? Am I being empowered by him? Does this vision that Paul's speaking of, this mystery of Christ and the reality of who he is that he mentioned earlier, he said, the glory and the mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the confident expectation that your life is headed toward glory and sharing in the glory of God. Live in that understanding. Let it renew your mind. Friend, that's your destiny, no matter where you are today. Maybe you're facing crushing disappointment, some kind of serious physical illness or a serious break in relationship somewhere, or habit patterns of sin that are crippling your life, or a mental illness, or whatever you may be up against in this fallen world. These promises, these realities are for you. You don't stand outside them. You're not too far away. You're not too far from God's reach. Every one of you is called to the heights of what Paul is describing right here. And even in our woundedness and our brokenness and the sadness and the veil of tears that we walk in this world. We can live in him. We can live from him in the power of the Spirit, Christ the source, the power of our life. We can live for him as we move in this world, the time the Lord has given us, and to love those around us. Rooted and built up in him, established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. These are fundamental characteristics of the normal Christian life, right? A vibrant faith, knowledge of God, experiential knowledge of God, an understanding of the mystery of God, and a life that's abounding in thanksgiving. Here's a man who, you know, by any measure of the world standard of whether I'm living a life that I ought to be giving thanks for, or the kind of things that are happening in my life I ought to be thankful for, Paul didn't hardly have any of it. I mean, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he went hungry, he was homeless for a while, you name it, he experienced of it. But he was abounding in thanksgiving because he bore the treasure of this great mystery, which is Christ in him, the hope of glory. So Paul warns then, he goes on, he says, see to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Friends, this is why Jesus is unlike any other. People are just wrong when they reduce Jesus to being just a good teacher or a great prophet. The whole deity, the divine life, is embodied and dwells in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And he says, and you've come to the fullness of life in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So Paul knew in his bones that in Jesus he met the source of everything. He met the one through whom all things were made and for whom they were made. And Paul realized that means me. I was made for him. I was made by him. And he's the one who will be the final judge of all things, which Paul's delighted about because he knows of the great love of Christ and his perfect justice. He said, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, and you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You died with Christ in baptism, and he raised you up. Verse 13, he said, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Isn't that beautiful? You who were dead, he made alive. There's a good description of Christianity right there. You see how alive the apostles were to this reality? I was dead and now I'm alive. I'm alive to what? I'm alive to God. I'm alive to the kingdom of God. He's literally made me alive because his life lives in me. Now I'm already participating in it and I'm heading toward its fulfillment. That's the whole purpose of my life. He said, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. He disarmed the devil and the devil's strategies. Friend, that's what Christ has done for us. Let's walk in it. Have a great weekend, friends. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.